Joy, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to speak to you.
You too. Thank you for joining us. Now, how was Rip Curl able to bring North Korean-made products to Australia and other markets?
Rip Curl, from my understanding and from what they said publicly, weren't aware that their products were being made in North Korea. So my understanding from Rip Curl's own statement is that they subcontracted to a supplier, and then that supplier then subcontracted out to a factory in North Korea. Now, I just want to emphasise that still doesn't get Rip Curl off the hook. Companies everywhere are responsible for what happens in their supply chain, and they need to know what's going on in their business and actually be able to let the public know that their supply chain is fair and ethical.
You mentioned there that Rip Curl does say the problems do lie with the contractor. So what could Rip Curl have done to prevent this?
Well, first of all, a couple of companies in Australia have taken some really bold action on doing what we call knowing and showing their supply chain. And that basically means not only do they know every single factory that their clothes are being made in, but they also put that up on their website. The companies that do that include Kmart, Target and Coles. They actually have a list for all to see of where their clothes are being made. Rip Curl, Oxfam would suggest, needs to follow suit and actually take on that practice instead.
The conditions in the factory have been described as slave-like. What sort of conditions are these people facing?
That isn't a comment, I have to say, that Oxfam has made. That's from the article. What we do know about the general conditions across Asia, which is where 90% of the garments in the Australian market come from, are that people are paid poverty wages, often to work long hours and long days, so sometimes 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. In countries like Bangladesh, workers are paid about a fifth of what Oxfam would consider a living wage. Now, that's a wage that would mean that workers could pay for things like proper housing, enough nutritious food for the day, and health and education costs. So, you know, while we haven't used the term slave-like, what I would say is that Asian garment workers are often living in poverty, and this is something we'd like all garment companies to address.
So what measures, I guess, then, looking into the crystal ball a bit, should Rip Curl or other clothes manufacturers take to make sure things like this don't happen again?
Yeah, so first of all, we'd suggest a review of their supply chain. I'd suggest that they take some really simple steps like publishing their policies and making sure that they are dealing with countries and companies that adhere to the International Labour Organization standards on basic things like making sure that workers are able to join a union and collectively bargain. We'd suggest that companies, once they've done that, publish for all to see their supplier list. So that's their name of the factories and their locations. That makes it a lot easier, actually, for companies because when there's a problem, not only are they confident in knowing where that problem's going to originate from, but independent organisations like unions, organisations like Oxfam can much more easily raise concerns at the outset with companies like Rip Curl or others. So publishing their supplier list is a really important step towards transparency. And then into the future, something that Oxfam and others are really interested in is working with companies to implement living wages across their supply chain so that workers aren't living still in poverty.
Well, Joy, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
No worries. Nice to speak to you.